happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Raise up the torch and light the way.
Raise up the torch and light the way.
Proud and defiant, we'll slay the giant. Let us seize the day.
Seize your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today, we'll be taking you to Chico Center for the Arts, where California Regional Theater is presenting, live on stage, Newsies, a Broadway musical. We'll talk with the director, the choreographer, and members of the talented cast from this high-energy show about young paper boys and paper girls on the streets of New York in 1899. These determined orphans rise up together and form a grassroots union to claim back their rights, which have been stolen from them by the powerful, unfeeling owner of the newspaper, Joseph Pulitzer. Also on today's program, we'll talk with two Chico artists. They're both opening their personal gardens to the public tomorrow and Sunday for an event called Art in the Gardens, providing unique settings to show off an array of artwork from our two guests and from many other artists. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Mall with the North State Arts Calendar.
Reading's Riverfront Playhouse ends its run of the romantic comedy Somewhere in Between. Two more chances to see this play, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30. Tonight at the Cascade Theater in Reading, Vocal Trash. This five-person group uses, as their instruments, recycled items from landfills. Singing, breakdancing, and comedy with Vocal Trash beginning at 7:30. At the Orland Art Center, the exhibit A Handsome Harvest, featuring paintings by Marilyn Walsh and ceramics by Michelle Turner. The center's open Tuesday through Saturday, 1 to 6. In Chico, opening tonight at the Blue Room Theater, Lord of the Flies. This production features a new twist on the classic story, an all-female cast. Showtime is 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and the play runs only one more weekend. Chico Theater Company presents Making God Laugh. This comedy drama shows us a family at holiday celebrations through 30 years of ups and downs. Curtain times, 7:30 tonight and tomorrow night, and 2 o'clock Sunday. Sunday afternoon at Chico State in the Zing Recital Hall, the San Francisco Grand Opera Cinema Series features Showboat. This classic of American musical theater fills the big screen beginning at 2 o'clock. On the visual arts scene in Chico, 1078 Gallery shows paintings by Wyatt Hersey in the exhibit Just Lying on the Grass. 1078 Gallery, 710 Park Avenue in Chico, is open Thursday through Saturday, 12:30 to 5:30, and Sunday from noon to 3. Also in Chico, MONCA, the Museum of Northern California Art, hosts the photography exhibit Black and White in Black and White, Images of Dignity, Hope, and Diversity in America, with its companion exhibit, Silence Out Loud. MONCA's hours, 11 to 5, Thursday through Sunday. In the Humanities Building at Chico State, the Jackie Headley University Art Gallery has only one more day of Dog Days, exhibiting works by Vietnamese-American artist Trong Nha Vinh. His whimsically odd and oddly political objects can be seen tomorrow between noon and 4. In the same building, the Janet Turner Print Museum has a show, Deep Etch, Legends of Chico Printmaking, displaying works by former Chico State art faculty. The Turners open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. At the Acting Company in Yuba City, the musical Gypsy, tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 with a Sunday matinee at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Born this date, opera superstar Luciano Pavarotti. For me, Pavarotti proclaimed, music making is the most joyful activity possible, the most perfect expression of any emotion.
Pull a Turnhurst! They think we're nothing! Are we nothing?
No!
Pull a Turnhurst! They think they got us! Do they got us?
No!
Even though we ain't got hats or badges, we're a union just by saying so. And the world will know. We'll do what we gotta do until we break the will of mighty Bill and Joe.
And the world will know.
I'm here at the CUSD Chico Center for the Arts, and that's on East Avenue on the edge of Pleasant Valley High School. And I have just seen a terrific production, the Disney Broadway musical Newsies. We have here the producer and director of the show, Bob Maness. Was it fun working with a cast that had so much energy and enthusiasm?
It is, and you know, the music drives you with such energy, and so you take all these young folks who are excellent dancers, I mean, top-notch. In rehearsals, it was exploding with power, but it wasn't just the dancing, it's the story itself. You know, all these kids who come together for a greater cause.
The show is an inspiring, rousing endorsement of the idea of unions. Are you proud to have a show that underlines how unions can bring power to people who would otherwise not have any power?
I'm proud to do a show that shows people coming together under one unified group to say we can together accomplish so much. Together we're stronger. There's so many facets to the show. It's not just dancing, which is tremendous, and not just songs, which are great. But, you know, in our case, we did our best to follow Disney's lead and put up the projections that match and put up the three-story set and to put up a lot of physicality that brings the story to life.
And now we have the choreographer, Sarah Shoemaker. This has terrific chances for dance, and you made the most of it. Of course, it won the Tony Award for Best Choreography.
When Bob approached me to choreograph the show, I jumped at the chance. This is one of those shows any dancer or choreographer wants to get their hands on, kind of like West Side Story or A Chorus Line. Some of the challenges are just wanting to stay true to what people know of Newsies. You know, I wanted to stay true to the original choreography, but also kind of cater to the skill sets of the cast. And they are able to do a lot of different things. And some things that I asked them to do that they didn't know that they could do, and they discovered through the process of this show. So that was really fun.
Talk about the different styles of dance that you had your cast do.
Traditional musical theater jazz dance, we have tap dance, and we have quite a bit of acrobatics in the show, which is really fun. Although it is traditional musical theater jazz dance, it has to be very athletic and look like it came from the streets. So I had to adapt it in that way. I have two sons. They're 9 and 6. And so I took some inspiration from them. I mean, they're the age that some of the Newsies would have been. How they play with each other and how they move and wrestle, I took some inspiration from them for how I had my cast move in the show.
So what kind of things have people said to you after the show about why they enjoyed the show?
People love the energy that they bring to the stage. We've had lots of comments about the professionalism of this cast. They range in age from middle school through high school and college and into adulthood. And so just across the board, people are really impressed with just the sheer amount of talent on the stage.
Now we have the Newsies' central character, Jack Kelly. He is played by Ali Hagugi.
This is the most fun I've ever had working on a show. It's just so high energy that it's just impossible not to enjoy yourself while you're performing it.
Tell us a little bit about Jack's journey in this play.
Well, we first meet Jack on his rooftop house where he makes his home, just the scaffolding up in the skyscrapers of Manhattan. We learned he wants to eventually ditch his day job of being a newspaper boy, a newsie, and go to Santa Fe out west. As the story progresses, when Joseph Pulitzer decides to raise the buying price for the newsies, Jack has the idea to go on strike as a result and lead the newsies in a revolt against the higher power. By the end of the show, I think Jack discovers a lot about himself and a lot about being an adult and growing up and being responsible, especially in his leadership role as he is for the newsies.
So, Ali, are you going to keep acting? Do you want to make this a career? Because I think you certainly could.
Nothing would make me happier than to make this a career. It's been my dream since I've started acting. Ever since the beginning, I've been so taken with the craft. It's just what I love to do most, and I really can't see myself doing much else outside of the theater.
Now we have, well, the meanie of the show. This is Denver Nash. He plays Mr. Joe Pulitzer. What's it like being the bad guy in this show?
Oh, I think every actor dreams of getting to play the villain. They're the most fun parts to play, for sure. Get to be your most evil, wicked self. Really chew the lines that you're given in the script.
Did you have a feeling this show resonates? Because you kind of represent the 1% that owns everything. And there's this uprising of unexpected young people who end up, perhaps, I don't want to give anything away, but they triumph against you.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see the modern day parallels in the script and how Pulitzer does represent kind of the people that have come up from nothing and forgotten where they came from. And consequently, when he starts to make certain decisions that have a big impact on these children's lives, he has no idea what he's doing and eventually comes to find out that they have a leg up on him in the end.
This is Michael Burchett, another member of the cast of Newsies. Tell me who your character is.
I am playing the role of Davy Jacobs, one of the new newsies, the bookish newsie.
And you are one of the only newsies who is not an orphan. You actually have a family.
Yeah. In the show, I do have a family, and I have a little brother named Les. What happens is I have to support my family and help them. And so I have to go sell newspapers instead of going to school or going to play or... And so I have to also watch my brother less.
I have to say, you are a standout among the singers. You have a very strong voice. Did you enjoy singing these songs in this theater?
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's so special singing these songs. They're very empowering. And music is a really strong part of my life. I just love it. I love every single moment. It's truly amazing.
Tell me about the camaraderie. It seemed real. I mean, it was in the story with all the newsies, but you guys really seemed to be a unified group who were really having a blast up there.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about that. This is one of the best shows I've ever done in my entire life. The whole cast connects so well as a whole group, and we just love each other all so much. And so when we're singing with each other, it's very captivating. It really, like, makes you feel so good.
And now we have here Ryan Matry. He plays the part of Crutchy. You know, Ryan, I've seen you in a lot of shows, but this is the best one. Yeah, you must be really eating up doing such a perfect part for yourself.
Yeah, it's a really fun role to play and express the character and just have a blast on stage and take the audience with me.
Well, tell us about your character, Crutchy.
So Crutchy, he's a 15-year-old kid. He's got a pretty crummy hand dealt when he has a bum leg and he has a crutch at the turn of the century, which is not really a good hand to be dealt. His best friend's Jack Kelly. He kind of just is very optimistic. He's very loving. He's very caring and just wants to be like everyone else without his bum leg.
What's it like for you, Ryan, to be in the middle of this cast, part of this energetic camaraderie that you have, which is perfect for what this group of newsies is supposed to be?
it's a blast to be able to share the talent we have on stage and just playing off of each other and playing off of the audience's energy and just having a good time bringing the story together and all that.
Crutchy is a very sympathetic character. I think the audience's hearts go out to Crutchy from the very beginning because Crutchy's in the very first scene and he goes through the whole play. Do you feel the love from the audience?
Of course. The love that I get from the audience is so touching because Crutchy, he gets beat up and then gets sent to the refuge in Act 2, and he does not in Act 2 much, but he has one solo writing a letter to Jack, a call for desperation kind of to Jack and just wanting to be with everyone else.
Now we have Sierra Hall. She's the female lead of the show. This is a character that wasn't in the original movie.
Catherine Plummer, she serves as Jack's romantic opposite and also the strong reporter who reports the news and gives the newsies some press for their strike.
Your character and your performance give a feminist slant to the story.
She's a really empowering character to play. In the 1890s, there's not a lot of female career women at all, let alone reporters, so she's unique in that way, and it's really fun to play that angle and just be strong and sassy at times.
We discover she is the daughter of Pulitzer. So what's it like being between your father, who is pulling you one way, and Jack and the newsies who are pulling you the other way?
I like to think my character resents her upbringing because she seems to be more of a like fight the system kind of girl. So the fact that her dad is such a big corporate guy is probably conflicting for her. I don't even interact with Pulitzer very much. Yeah, I'm definitely on the side of the newsies. And I just kind of am like, man, dad, you're the worst. But then, you know, I love him still, but we have to go through that.
As always, you sang the hell out of the show.
Thank you so much.
You sounded great. What's it like singing on this stage at the Chico Center for the Arts?
It's really awesome. I've performed on this stage many times. I went to PV. I love this stage. Yeah, I love all the music in this show, so it's really fun to sing.
This is such a rousing, thrilling story. Are you inspired being a young person at this time in America, rising up against, say, the 1% who rules us?
Yes, this is definitely a very relevant show. It is so empowering and so emotional to watch. When I watch the fight scenes, I start tearing up. It's just so intense. But yeah, it just really has this really strong message of taking a stand for what you believe in and fighting against, you know, the powers that be.
What's your favorite number to do for yourself?
For myself, I really like Something to Believe In, our duet. It's really sweet and nice to sing.
That's your duet with Jack. It's the romantic ballad between the two of you. So if people are familiar with the original movie, there's many new songs added, and that's one of them. I think probably that's the best one.
I love it. It's so, so cute. Yeah, in the movie, Catherine isn't even really a character, so there is a lot of added stuff about that in the romance, but it's really sweet, and it's a good story.
So we only have two more weekends to see Newsies. It's playing tonight. It's playing twice tomorrow, matinee at 2 o'clock and evening performance at 7:30, and then a matinee on Sunday, and then one more week after that, same schedule.
Dolores Mitchell. Today I have such a treat for everyone. a combination art, home, and garden tour with two marvelous artists. I'm going to speak to Pat Kosis and Cui Gray Lavin, who are having a spectacular show and sale in Chico on Saturday from 10 to 5 p.m. and Sunday 11 to 4 p.m. I'm turning first to Pat. What will people see when they come to your house, and where is your house?
I'm located at the corner of East 2nd Avenue and Laburnum. My address is 356 East 2nd Avenue. You'll see my studio. Most of the people who work at my studio will be there too. A variety of ceramic artists and my friends who paint, as well as a couple of glass artists. And you might see my dogs.
Cui, where are you in the avenues?
279 East 7th, right near the corner of Laburnum. Pat's house and mine are very close to each other. We have a number of people. We will have 12 artists showing this year, a number of our regulars, and then we always have new guest artists. Fused glass, blown glass, pottery, birdhouses, Sten's wonderful wire work, my mosaics, a beautiful yard, and my studio.
Tell the listeners a little bit about your own art and also how people can see it within the environment of your garden.
A number of the pieces I've done are in the yard now, the ones that I've fallen in love with or made and couldn't move them once I made them. I've been a mosaic artist for about 18 years now. I was a wreath maker for about 20 years before that. Part of what people like about coming is you can see in the studio all the pieces and the elements of a mosaic and how to make them. And I give you ideas of where to buy things and find things. Everyone else sets up in booths or in areas of the garden under trees and in tents, and so it's a nice environment. We also have music throughout Saturday and Sunday. A lot of people like to just come and hang out for an hour or two and enjoy the music and walk around the yard and see the art. So it's less of a come buy something and more of a come by and hang out and enjoy it. It's mellower than a sale, so that makes it nice.
Well, it's a garden tour and a studio tour. You were saying different things about each other's studios.
I was waxing eloquent about Cui's studio because it's amazing. It's in this gorgeous building, and it's so organized and neat and tidy and colorful. My studio is very organic. It's grown over the years, and there's stuff squirreled away in corners, on top of things, and in drawers. It works just fine, but it's a little bit more challenging, so to speak. But I love my studio. It's great.
Cui, what do you like about Pat's studio?
We're each other's biggest fans. Generally, our biggest regret is that we don't get to go shop and hang out with each other during the show. Sometimes we sneak over in the morning. We both have lived in our houses for a very long time. We've both shown with the groups for a long time. It's more like visiting old friends and seeing new work. Everyone at Pat's is always trying something new, which is fun, and our group tries to do something new. I don't want to sell things that only certain people can afford. There's things that are under $10, and there's things that are over $400 or $500, and everything in between. For me, it's important that art is available to everyone, no matter how much money you make. I think we both love each other's groups also. We like the people, and we like the feel of it, and her home is a family home, and my home is a family home, so it feels like visiting neighbors more than going to a show and a sale.
Pat, it's a wonderful season for people to acquire ceramics or even just to come and take pleasure in ceramics. What do you love about your art form?
I love the antiquity of it. I am so honored to be part of the long 30,000-year tradition of people who have been trying to make things out of mud. I love that I can take some soft, wet dirt and transform it into a teapot. I find that immensely satisfying about ceramics. I love color. I love pattern. Very design-oriented. I love geometrics, juxtaposing colors. For the last 4 or 5 years, I've been trying to figure out how to be a watercolorist on top of clay, and that's been a challenge. But I'm kind of getting a little bit of a look going. I just recently took a 5-day workshop on teapots, and it just elevated my game. I'm so excited about that. I'll be able to show some of my work at the show.
Cui, how about your medium? How long have you been working in mosaics?
About 18 years. You can't ever learn it all or try it all. You can use it for so many things and so many elements. Pat and I, we both teach, and I think that's what's fun about our studios is you can tell that we're teachers. And it's wonderful when you're teaching somebody and you watch them take that leap to put a color next to something or two elements that they knew wouldn't work and they make it work, and that light goes on, and that's just awesome. It's fun to have people find that part of their creative being.
There are many listeners who have said to themselves, someday I'm going to do some art. So would you be amenable to chatting with them about possibilities?
Absolutely. If they want to come by the show, they can give me their email address and I'll keep them updated on upcoming classes or give them some ideas of things to try. I'm totally open to sharing materials and sources. I don't believe in being stingy about that kind of thing, and neither does Pat.
Pat, can people who are interested in trying some creativity come to one of your workshops?
Certainly. I do hold classes throughout the year, and I just finished a beginning class a couple weeks ago, and I probably will be starting something again after the new year. I'm more than happy to work with people on any level to get started or bring people in who have lost their access to clay.
Cui, I still would like a little more detail on how you make a mosaic.
I see it as a puzzle. That's kind of how my mind works. I make a problem for myself, so it's two elements or it's a broken pot and some tile. Whatever the problem is, I go about solving it. I know it's done when it feels solved, when I look and everything goes together the way I wanted it and the elements are all incorporated. There's just a moment when I know, okay, that's it, that's done, I need to leave it alone. It's really about a problem and then solving it. With mosaics, you can use satellite dish and bowling balls and old pots and pans, and I love that part. You don't have to waste anything. Broken pottery is a treasure, not something to throw away. Old tile and pennies and buttons, and you can use almost anything in a mosaic that can stand the grouting process.
Pat, will you give the listeners a rundown once more? Dates, times, and locations.
The dates are Saturday from 10 until 5, Sunday from 11 to 4 at Cui's House, 279 East 7th Avenue, and I'm at 356 East 2nd Avenue, so we're 5 blocks apart, which is a lovely little stroll down the avenues between her house and mine. She'll have music, we'll have smiles.
Wonderful afternoons at both locations. Thank you.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.